Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, I take your questions that you emailed me. Freedom@CharlieKirk.com. You guys can still email us your questions. Freedom@CharlieKirk.com. This is a bonus episode because our numbers are terrific and you guys are supporting us. Thank you guys so much and God bless you for that. We talk about Kevin Durant. We talk about Vanessa Hudgens. We talk about Ford versus Ferrari. We talk about movies. We talk about the healthcare system. We talk about suicide rates, unfortunately, and all sorts of different things. You guys, I think, are going to really enjoy this show. We are taking an optimistic, pro-American, we are going to get through this, we are going to win approach. Again, email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast by going to your podcast provider, typing in Charlie Kirk Show, and press subscribe. Buckle up, everyone. We are going to win. We are going to beat this virus. Our best days are ahead. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, Charlie, on Monday's podcast, you talked about the economic ramifications in closing businesses such as bars, restaurants, etc. As a job seeker, I'm also concerned about the economic ramifications and find myself questioning how will they work. You said there needs to be a balance between stopping the virus and keeping the economy intact. What would you say the appropriate balance is? And that's Michael from LA.
Thank you, Michael from LA. And first of all, my thoughts go out to a lot of you. And look, it's a very difficult situation here because you have a virus that is so transmissible and so infectious without people even knowing they're carrying it, which is not usually an attribute of a virus, which makes this particular infectious disease so dangerous. Usually you'll be able to tell, I have it, I'll self-quarantine, we'll figure it out. Now you have millions of people that might have the disease, and those are not my numbers. Those are numbers that have been published. Let's just say hundreds of thousands of people that might have it that have no symptoms at all whatsoever. And so eventually you're going to have to test basically the entire population. That's the only solution. So my solution is this. If I were advising, I think the president's doing a phenomenal job, by the way. I think he's doing an absolutely terrific job, is that you got to have some sort of gradual tapering plan to let people back to work and go sector by sector. So I would start with the tech sector. As much as we criticize them here on the Charlie Kirk Show, much as we criticize them as conservatives, they do shoulder a huge economic burden and a huge part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and they're the least likely to actually need to be in quarantine. So you need to at least give people the appearance that our tech sector is going back to work and that they're going back at least to some of the campuses that they have in Google and Facebook, so on and so forth. So you set up testing sites right outside of Google, Facebook, and you basically turn them into corona-free zones. And they got to test basically once, and then they got to get their temperature tested every single day before they go into the campus. And you allow people that have been tested without the virus to go back to work slowly. Other industries are just going to go through a very tough time for the time being. Tourism, airlines, and sports in particular. And we're talking about millions and millions and millions of jobs. We're seeing unemployment spike. The biggest policy solution here that I would advocate for is a payroll tax cut. Just to give you an idea, we at Turning Point USA, every 2 weeks, we pay $70,000 in payroll tax. So we pay $35,000 in payroll tax a week, just to give you an idea. And I hope that stuns all of you listening, but that's what happens when you have about 150, 160 people on payroll. We're paying $35,000 a week at Turning Point USA, disappears and evaporates and goes to the government that I can't use to hire more people or buy more capital infrastructure, put in a rainy day fund, send people on trips or do whatever. And what my trips, I mean, send them on work trips, send them out to be go productive. And so if Congress were to do a payroll tax holiday for 6 months or 9 months, that'd be $35,000, $70,000 every 2 weeks, $140,000 a month. That for over 6 months, that would be like a $700,000 to $800,000 tax cut for nonprofits. Now, as a 501c3, we don't pay corporate income tax, we won't pay state income tax, but we still pay payroll tax. That would allow us a sort of tax relief to keep on hiring people, allow us to keep people on payroll. And look, we've planned for days like this. We at Turning Point USA are in a great position, and we want to thank the generous supporters that have allowed us to continue to grow. And we're in a much better position than other organizations that did not plan for days like this. You know, I want to give credit to our board, and want to give credit to so many people that have supported us. They've always said, hey, be careful and be wise. And we have been careful and wise, because one day the economy might turn, the market might crash, and all of a sudden you want to make sure you've planned for those measures. But for young people out there, you guys should be advocating and marching in the streets for a payroll tax cut. I'm telling you right now, someone who employs people, a payroll tax cut would free up liquidity the likes of which nothing else would. Because a payroll tax cut is something you can't avoid. It doesn't matter if you're making money, doesn't matter if you're losing money. If you're employing people, you cannot avoid a payroll tax cut. A payroll tax holiday would be the greatest stimulus to the American economy we could possibly imagine. Not big infrastructure projects, not demand-side redistributionism, but a payroll tax cut. Love the question. I think we need to get back to balance between the economic downside and also the health downside of this virus. And I think we're starting to see some big advances pharmaceutically. Shout out to Laura Ingraham for being one of the first people to talk about the anti-malarial medication out there. And by the way, a lot of these questions we're reading are from you guys emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, Michael, for the question. For those of you that are young and looking for work and apprehensive, keep the faith. This economy will turn around. And for those of you that still have jobs, I'm telling you right now, I've said this a lot of times, you've never gotten a job from a poor person. And if you have a person that's employing you that's quote-unquote rich and you still have your job, go and thank them, because they're making sacrifices for you to still have this job. Every single business in the country, unless you work for Clorox or Costco or Walmart, is struggling right now. So for all my podcast listeners that work for Clorox, you're excluded. And I say that facetiously because Clorox's stock is up like 78% in the last week and a half. And Costco and Walmart are doing great because people are hoarding as if it's a zombie apocalypse or an asteroid hit the earth or if the sky is falling. If you outside of the people that work for those industries, and if you still have a job and you have not been furloughed, go to your employer and say thank you. Thank you for continuing to hold the line, because I'm telling you right now, as someone who employs somebody, I'm getting calls from people all across the country that are letting people off work. Restaurateurs, technology companies, there's layoffs happening like you wouldn't believe it. Yes, the economy is that fragile and fickle. Because if you have 2 weeks of no business at all, if you have 2 weeks of the cash register posting zeros, all of a sudden the entire economy can go into bedlam. And so for those of you that are gainfully employed, please go say thank you to an entrepreneur or a business person that is keeping you employed, especially when you might not be as productive because you're out of the office, and you should be cheering for this economy to get going and get back into full gear very, very soon. Taxes. That's one thing we all have to deal with this time of year. And as a business owner with over 160 people on payroll, I know it's critical to know all your options. That's why you should lean on LegalZoom. I can tell you LegalZoom makes it easy, seamless, and very understandable to be able to get through the impossible, such as taxes, legal requirements, and others. LLCs, DBAs, S-Corps, what does all that mean? I mean, they mean different things for different people when it comes to paying taxes and limiting your personal liability. There's a lot to think about. But with LegalZoom, you don't have to worry about doing all the legwork yourself to find the right answers. They have a ton of resources to help, including their network of independent attorneys and tax professionals. They'll provide the advice you need to ensure you're operating your business the way you want to. And since LegalZoom is not a law firm, you'll save time and money while avoiding hourly fees. Whether you need to incorporate, form an LLC, or set up business another way, use LegalZoom to maximize your business's potential and make your accountant happy. I've used it. I love it. I recommend it to all my friends. The Charlie Kirk Show, Turning Point USA, uses LegalZoom, and you should too. Get your business on the right track for 2020 by visiting LegalZoom.com and use that code Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, code Charlie, LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Highly recommend it. What other questions we got?
Charlie, I understand, quote-unquote, flatten the curve, so our healthcare system is not overloaded and cases can be spread out and treated over a longer time. But are there actual numbers supporting the idea that our system will even be overloaded or potentially could be? Thank you. Mark from Minneapolis.
So look, I feel like we're living in this Monty Python world where, I mean, the mayor of Baltimore goes out and he says, and I'm not kidding you, this is an actual article from Breitbart.com, basically asking people to stop shooting each other. I mean, I could just see the Monty Python skit. Excuse me, can you please stop killing each other? It's really getting, you can do that later. You could just see the Monty Python skit, right? We live in a Monty Python world. It's not very nice to be killing people right now. You could do that after the virus. The Baltimore mayor is literally going around saying, you have to stop killing each other. You're filling up the hospitals. As if now we should have a big revelation about black-on-black violence and urban violence in Baltimore. As if the hundreds and hundreds of beautiful people that have been massacred and slaughtered, now it's a big deal because our hospitals are getting overrun. So look, President Trump has been phenomenal in repositioning the aircraft carrier, the USS Mercy, to New York, basically turning into a floating hospital. I had the idea that Marriott hotels, instead of asking for a bailout, they should ask for a government contract to convert their vacant Marriott hotels into makeshift hospitals. I know what you're saying. Well, Charlie, they don't have ventilators. You're right. They don't have ventilators, but they do have beds, and they have a lot of square footage, and they have infrastructure that could be turned into lower-tier converted hospitals for people that might be dealing with broken bones or broken hips or things of that nature. And remember, 10 to 15% of hospital beds are always going to be used for things that are outside of the Chinese virus. And just some statistics. Today, the United States has fewer than 800,000 hospital vet beds and about 68,000 adult intensive care unit beds of any kind, even with their strategic reserve, fewer than 100,000 ventilators. Now, that's being challenged. There's some evidence to show that sleep apnea machines actually can be used better and more effectively than ventilators, and that's being discussed right now. So if even 5% of the 325 million people living in America get the Chinese virus, the current data suggests that 20% of them, 3.2 million people, will require hospitalization, and 6%, 960,000 people, will require beds and intensive care units for many days. Chinese virus patients will simply overwhelm the healthcare system. That's from the failing New York Times. But again, the USNS Mercy, I'm sorry, and the USNS Comfort are being repositioned. It's a very creative, very effective measure, but I think that Hyatt hotels and Marriott hotels should be paid and compensated instead of a bailout. Use it for something good as makeshift hospitals for nurses and for people that need the extra space and need the extra beds, especially for people that are battling non-intensive care unit issues. And I'm sure there might be some, I might be totally wrong on the infrastructure of it, but I'm hearing that there's just an overflow capacity. And Elon Musk and many other people are stepping up saying, we are going to build the ventilators if we need to build the ventilators. And it turns out that we're actually finding out we have more ventilators than we actually thought. And I think that, look, we'll be able to build whatever we need. America's industrial capacity will never be thwarted. And again, we're reading these questions from you guys emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Next question, Kenley from Pasco, Washington.
Charlie, I just finished listening to your podcast, Fighting the Chinese Virus Without Destroying the Economy, where you mentioned that shutting everything down will increase depression rates, crime rates, and suicide rates. I have some numbers for you. My husband is an ICU nurse in Pasco, Washington. He just came off a shift where he took care of three people that tried to commit suicide, ages 20 through 27. He stated that the hospital probably has two patients a week that are under care after trying to commit suicide. But after Governor Jay Inslee announced the shutdown, it jumped to 3-1 13-hour shift. We both understand there are multiple factors in suicide, but we do think all these business school closings is something very dangerous. Thank you for all that you do for our nation.
Look, this is very sad, and I know that those people that are advocating for quarantines and shutdowns are coming at it from a good position, and the president's in a very difficult place, but I wish I was wrong when I said that. I did the previous show, and I appreciate you guys going back and listening to other episodes and downloading it. I don't have a lot of commentary on that, except that this was predictable. When you shut down the economy, and you put people in social isolation, and you tell them that they can't see other people, and you tell them they can't go to work, and you rob people of their meaning, suicide will increase. And that's a tragedy. 27 vets commit suicide every day on average. Is that right? 18 to 22. That's too many. And unfortunately, the statistics show us that over 14,000 people committed suicide post-financial crisis on top of the national suicide rate. So that was the increase post-2008 financial crisis. A vibrant economy literally saves lives. And we don't talk about this enough as Trump supporters and people that embrace a free market economy. But when people have jobs, when you have prosperity, when you get excited about something, when you go on vacation, when you can provide for your family, when you are able to get a raise and see higher wages and get yourself out of debt, all of a sudden, your externalities disappear. Crime goes down. Schools improve. You're able to build better park districts, better libraries. All of a sudden, you go on a nicer vacation. And suicide rates decrease. And alcoholism decreases. And guess what? The divorce rate actually decreases too. The divorce rate went up tremendously post 2008-2009. You know the number one worry for people in America is? Money. And now it's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Under the President Trump's economy, and guess what? President Trump rebuilt the economy once. He'll rebuild it again. This is not his fault. This is China's fault. Blame China. Sanction them. Do whatever it takes to get the money back. You'll never get the lives back, though. You'll never get the lives back. But we need to get back to a vibrant economy. We don't talk about it. Because if you get to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15% unemployment, you're going to lose more people to suicide than the virus would have ever killed. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the president's handling this really well. But Kenley from Washington, appreciate the note. I wish I was wrong. And I think suicide is one of the hardest to explain tragedies happening in the entire Western world. I really do. Next question.
Hey, Charlie, this is Anna Kate from Alabama. How will the state of the stock market contribute to Trump's legacy as president? Do you think the China virus will take away from his legacy of historically restoring the American economy?
So look, the stock market is just a temporary indicator of where things are economically. President Trump built up the stock market with trillions of dollars of wealth being created. Now, that some could say that wealth has disappeared. That is somewhat true. However, a lot of people still own those stocks like me that are down 10 or 15 or 20%. And as soon as the liquidity or as soon as people get out of treasury bonds and go back into the market, there's a lot of cash out there. There's a ton of liquidity that is waiting to go back into this market. And I think you're going to see it explode again. But yes, President Trump, I think, will be able to rebuild the economy. And I'm telling you right now, if President Trump is able to get this market back to 30,000 before Election Day, that'll be one of the most unbelievable accomplishments in American history. That means he will have rebuilt the American stock market twice. That means he will have got it up to 30,000 twice. And don't put it past him. He's going to cheerlead this thing on. He's going to do the correct amount of pro-market, pro-freedom, pro-American policies that need to be put into place. There's a lot of stock market illiteracy out there. It's really important to remember that it is a market of stocks, not a stock market. So it's not, the stock market's not like a thing you go and touch. It's really tempting to go say, well, the Dow is down or NASDAQ was really down. But you have to look at it sector by sector. You have to look at it company by company. And on average, the fundamentals of these companies actually have remained strong. People are just losing confidence in the general American climate of what's going on because of the virus. And that only goes to show, I think this thing is going to catapult immediately. It's going to do that V-type recovery as soon as we're able to get back to some form of normalcy, whatever that looks like. So no, I don't think that his legacy will be put in jeopardy. In fact, I think that we'll be able to tell the story. Show me a president that was able to rebuild the American economy twice in one term with none of the downfalls being his fault. And for those of you guys that might be in a lot of student loan debt, and you're not sure what to do, you might have just lost your job, and my heart goes out to you, and we're going to do everything we can to get you back to work through a payroll tax cut and through pro-growth policies. You guys might be struggling with student loan debt, and I get it. You guys might have been lied to by the cartel of the colleges, but I want to tell you about something called Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. They help people get out of debt. If you've gotten student loan debt, you could benefit. Helps you refinance your student loans with a lower rate, which helps you save on interest or lower your monthly payment. And with a shorter loan term, you can get debt-free faster. Here's a huge benefit from it. You can consolidate all your student loans in one place. You got a serious peace of mind. Credible customers have been given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders, whereas with some other online marketplaces, you get ranges of rates or ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple minutes to check rates. They'll never sell your data. So please, right now, visit Credible.com/Charlie. That's Credible.com/Charlie. And by the way, you get free cash. You want free cash right now? This is like the Andrew Yang UBI stimulus shot. $200 gift card. Credible will give you a $200 gift card. So maybe you're struggling, you need some cash. Well, if you refinance it successfully, you get a $200 gift card. If you go to Credible.com/Charlie, Credible.com/Charlie, fill in a couple pieces of information to check out what rates are available. Again, Credible's great. We love partnering with them at the Charlie Kirk Show. I know people that have refinanced their student loans. They have clarity, they have confidence, and they have certainty that they can get out of student loan debt. Credible.com/Charlie, refinance your student loans and start saving. Next question.
Charlie, I listened to every episode. You said on Twitter that Nancy Pelosi tried to fund abortion in the House coronavirus bill. I retweeted it and people said that it wasn't true. Can you help me defend this point?
Thank you, Rachel from Iowa. For those of you who know, I'm not shy about my fight for the unborn and for those that cannot fight for themselves. So look, this was according to White House sources. It was published widely through a lot of different reputable news outlets. You could tell your friends, Rachel from Iowa, just because people might disagree with you doesn't mean they have the right to their own facts. The facts are that White House sources said that Nancy Pelosi was trying to slip in anti-life funding. So Nancy Pelosi, instead of trying to save lives during the Chinese virus, actually wanted less people to be alive. And so this one, I just have to make this kind of tangential commentary before we get to the next question. Again, we're reading questions from those of you that emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Why all of a sudden does the left act like they care about the dignity of human life during this whole virus? They don't care about the unborn. They're perfectly fine with 3,000 abortions a day. That's a fun cocktail party question. Hey, how many abortions are there in America per day? That's not really that much fun of a cocktail party question, but I mean that facetiously, of course. But how many abortions? 3,000 abortions a day. All of a sudden, the Democrats are going around saying, yeah, we really care about the dignity of human life. Well, why don't you care about those that can't protect themselves? Why don't you care about the million-plus unborn children that are not able to live, that are completely and totally terminated? And so, look, Nancy Pelosi did try to slip abortion funding into the House Corona Chinese virus bill. The White House reported it. And I trust the White House sources a lot more than I trust the fake news media, by the way. And it was reaffirmed even by the fake news media sources and many other people that were into those conversations. And again, if we're having a conversation about the dignity of life, we got to get back to a whole cultural life, starting by protecting those that cannot protect themselves.
All right. I love listening to your show and value everything you say. With this whole China virus ordeal going on right now, everyone around me is talking about a recession. They seem to think that we're headed straight to it and the economy is going to crash. I just want to get your honest opinion of if you think a recession is coming and if that will change the election. Thanks so much, Sandra.
So I got bad news for everyone. We're already in a recession. You got to be honest about it. It's already happened. 30% off the Dow. We're in a bear market. I'm seeing the economic numbers. I'm seeing the slowdown. I'm seeing the lack of travel, the lack of investment. Look, we have slight adjustments of GDP when there's a hurricane. This is like a hurricane every single day in every single city across the country for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks straight. So we're in a recession, not Trump's fault. It's China's fault. It's the virus's fault. And look, we got to push through it. Again, President Trump rebuilt the economy once. He'll rebuild it again. We need a payroll tax cut or a payroll tax rebate, whatever the correct term for it is. But we got to get back to pro-growth policies that are going to get this economy back to exactly where it was. Unfortunately, yes, we're in a recession. We're going to probably post a negative 15% growth quarter. And I'm pausing intentionally. Negative 15%. And then the next quarter will be 8% or 10%, one of the greatest economic quarters in American history. We will come back from this. We will come back. And by July and August, when you're listening to this podcast, the market's going to be beautiful. You're going to be out where the sun is out 15, 16 hours a day, and we'll be laughing about the Chinese virus because we will have won and they will have lost. And then after we win, then we punish them for what they did to us and the wealth that they destroyed. Again, JP Morgan's out with the estimates. Quarter one, negative 4%. Quarter two, negative 14%. My goodness. Quarter three, plus 8%. Quarter four, plus 4%. If President Trump can post an 8% quarter three, he'll get reelected. The unemployment rate, though, will probably go up to 5 or 6%, which is just so frustrating because we had that dang thing down to 2.9 to 3%. And every time the unemployment rate goes up another 1%, that means more suicides, more depression, more alcoholism. We got to get that thing down. A vibrant economy is the only moral way to make sure our citizens have the resources they need and are looked after, because they're looking after themselves and looking after their families. They are self-sufficient. Next question.
Charlie, you may have recently seen that Vanessa Hutchins posted a video on Instagram downplaying the severity of the crisis. There's other reports that say spring breakers are still going out to the beaches and partying. What's your take on this?
Well, first, I want to play the tape of the philosopher queen, the rocket scientist, Vanessa.
Yeah, till July sounds like a bunch of bullshit. I'm sorry. But, like, it's a virus. I get it. Like, I respect it. But at the same time, like, even if everybody gets it, like, yeah, people are gonna die. It's just terrible, but, like, inevitable?
Okay, Vanessa. So, look, I have a couple thoughts on this. Number one, millennials and young people are not taking this seriously because they've now been told by the media for the last 3 or 4 years the world is ending because of everything. Donald Trump got elected. The world is going to end. Oh, Donald Trump took out Qassem Soleimani. We're going to war with Iran and everyone's getting drafted. Remember that funny part? It's not very funny, but remember everyone was like, oh yeah, we're getting drafted. We did whole episodes on it. And now no one's talking about Iran except for the fact that they have the Chinese virus. Trump's tax cut. Everyone's going to die. Brett Kavanaugh. Everyone's going to die. I mean, it's the boy who cried wolf syndrome. And so millennials are just like, yeah, okay, sure. This one's another, you know, hysteria that I'm not going to take seriously, and I'm going to ignore it. And the second part of it is they've been given permission by their professors, by some of their parents, and by their peers to believe that Donald Trump is some sort of invalid president, to believe that Donald Trump is a delegitimate president, that he's impeached, that he's not duly elected, and that he should be removed from office. And so for Vanessa, I guarantee you this. If President Barack Obama was going out there and was saying, everybody, I need you off the beach. I understand. It's spring break. You guys have a lot of fun. But you got to get off the beach. People would take it so seriously. You'd have celebrities doing videos. You would have Hillary Duff. Is Hillary Duff still around? Is that a thing? Or Amanda Bynes. Is she still around? Right? And Shia LaBeouf lost his mind. Even Stevens. That used to be a great show. The guy is totally postal. They would all be doing videos. You'd have the entire Disney Channel drug addict crew doing videos saying, we got to listen to Obama. But Hollywood and Robert De Niro and all these guys have delegitimized this president for years. So when the president goes up and tries to issue a good health guidance, people say, oh, screw you. I've been told not to trust you. But if it was Barack Obama, people would take this real seriously. People would say, well, we got to listen. I think he's making a really good point. He has our best interest at heart. And so for those of you that are confused why there's students and millennials on the beach, those are some of the biggest reasons. And so Vanessa, this is a public health crisis. It's also an economic crisis. What was she getting complaining that Coachella was canceled or something? Anyway, whatever it was that canceled, you're going to survive, Vanessa, okay? They'll do High School Musical 92, and you're going to be just fine. And that will be all you'll be known for quite some time. But for all the young people listening to this podcast right now, just please listen to the health advisory guidelines. Be productive. I mean, I'm getting these messages. Charlie, what am I supposed to do now that I'm quarantined? What are you not your own, a sovereign being? What, you have to be told what to do? Go work out. Sleep, wake up earlier, push yourself, read a book, learn a new language. Do something productive to improve your own life, because I can tell you right now, I'm reading these articles that are being sent to me. How not to overdrink when you're in self-quarantine. Bad idea. Don't do that, okay? How about you use the time that you've been given, maybe as a gift or maybe as a burden, use it as a blessing to improve your life, to improve yourself, to take something more seriously. I can tell you right now, the difference between winners and losers are how they handle their free time. Winners in free time read. Winners in free time work. Winners in free time work out. Losers in free time do things that have no productive output at all. Great gift that you've been given. Winners in life are going to take this very seriously, and are going to invest in themselves. The one thing that you can invest in where there's no capital gains tax and there's no way that the government can ever take it away from you until you die is yourself. Invest in yourself. It's the one thing the government can't take away from you. Next question.
I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist, but it seems like the Chinese virus infects a lot of important and famous people like Kevin Durant, Tom Hanks, Justin Trudeau's wife, Sean Payton, two members of Congress, etc. Some even say that the Chinese virus is a biological weapon targeting Western civilization. What do you think is happening? And this is Dean from Utah.
Well, thank you, Dean from Utah. Look, I'm staying away from all the conspiracy theorists. I'm having all sorts of wild emails being sent my way, and they're saying that all these celebrities are going to be indicted very soon. I don't find any validity to any of that. I think that's all balderdash and nonsense. If it does end up happening, I guess that the message boards were right. But look, some people are saying that it was a Chinese virus biological weapon, and I actually have an opinion on that. But first, with this being the new year, it's time to get started on improving yourself. No one knows that better than one of my favorite sponsors. You guys guess it, Mr. Producer, right now. He's smiling because he's wearing his Vincero watch. There it is right there, the Vincero watch. It is gorgeous. It is beautiful. It is sleek. And dare I say, it is bold. These guys know just how important it is that you look and feel your best, and they are here to keep you motivated through 2020 and beyond. If you're looking to upgrade your look, don't waste your money on a cheap cookie cutter watch that doesn't get you noticed. Finding a watch that's stylish, bold, and built to last can cost a pretty penny. Vincero Watches is changing that. They believe you deserve to look good no matter your budget. Again, Mr. Producer loves that watch. You deserve better than settling for something underwhelming. Head over to VinceroWatches.com. Check out my favorite picks and take advantage of my special discount while you shop. Remember to use the code KIRK, K-I-R-K. Vincero understands the frustrations of online shopping. These guys get it. And that's why they make it easy as possible for you. Vincero offers free shipping, 30-day returns, and guarantees your watch for 2 years. It's stress-free shopping with fair and honest prices. That's why Vincero has over 20,000 five-star reviews on their site. You can read for yourself. No matter who you are or what your job is, you guys need a good timepiece. So I'm telling you right now, don't overpay for a watch that looks cheap and disappoints. This is a timepiece you'll use. This is a piece that will last. This is something that will help you look and feel incredible so that you can feel prepared to take on the day and accomplish everything you set out to do this year. This deal is really too good to pass up. Get the year started the right way. Go to VinceroWatches.com. That's V-I-N-C-E-R-O Watches.com. Use my discount code KIRK, K-I-R-K, for a discount at checkout. Do not pay full price on these beautiful timepieces. Use my code KIRK, K-I-R-K, for a special discount while you shop. And so back to this whole question of whether or not this is a bioweapon, we don't know that, but we do know that Wuhan is the center of bioweapon technology in China. And I'm not going to say that a country tried to inflict harm on the West, but look, it was most likely wet markets and the Chinese lower middle class lack of hygiene and their bizarre choices in food. I mean, they eat bats. I'm not kidding. They eat raw bats. It's disgusting. And again, it just obey the kosher laws of eating for the most part. They eat raccoons. They eat bears. I mean, this is real. It's awful. Just obey the kosher laws and you'll be perfectly fine. God gave them to us for a reason, at least the best you can. Don't eat bizarre stuff. I mean, it's not good. But I will say this. If you wanted to destroy the West, this would be a great way to do it. Put the entire world economy into instability. But I'm not saying that somebody did. And I think all these conspiracy theories are kind of silly, but I'm sure some of you listening think, oh, Charlie, you don't get it. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see what happens, and I guess we'll see if I'm wrong. So next question.
I just read that Senator Richard Burr, a Republican, was receiving daily briefings on the Chinese virus and reassuring Americans that the government was well-equipped to handle it. But he personally sold off $1.6 million in stocks, which later tanked. As someone who just lost thousands of dollars on the stock market, I'm infuriated. Should we hold him accountable? If so, how? Jack from Fort Collins.
So look, this happens more often than you might think. In fact, Congressman Chris Collins is going to jail for something very similar, for making a phone call from the White House when he knew the results of a clinical trial of a drug that he was major shareholder in and his son was involved in, being a congressman. And he sold all the stock trying to avoid the losses. And now he's going to jail for that. So Senator Richard Burr, I don't care if you're a Republican, a conservative, or a Democrat, or a leftist. This is wrong. It is wrong for any elected official to use inside information to be able to benefit financially. And so you might say, well, Charlie, what was he supposed to do if you knew that information? You know what you do? Senator Burr, go hold a press conference. And you say, I have been briefed that this virus is worse than anyone believes, and I'm about to sell my stock. That's how bad it is. That's what you should have done. Or you should not have been a coward and just gone down with the losses like I did, and I lost 30% of my net worth because the stock market is down. And guess what? President Trump's going to rebuild it. I didn't have any inside information. I didn't know this thing was going to, I thought this thing was going to pass. This too shall pass. I thought this was going to be fine. I bet it on it going to be fine. And I'm not going to try to do some unethical insider trading deal to try to get out from behind it. I can't stand people in the kingdom of Washington, D.C. that feels if they can live under a different set of rules than the rest of us. This is why we hate D.C. This is why we hate the ruling class in both parties. This is why I wrote the MAGA doctrine, and this is why I'm disgusted by the continual behavior from it. And if he broke a law, he should be prosecuted. He's retiring anyway. And by the way, he called Don Jr. in for unnecessary witness testimony, despite Hunter Biden doing far worse. My patience is gone for people like Senator Richard Burr. Next question.
Hi, Charlie. My name is Joel, and I'm a 25-year-old Australian. I'm a big fan of your podcast and have recently purchased a copy of your book, The MAGA Doctrine, which I cannot wait to read. I would like to get your thoughts on a possible, and when I say possible, I mean slightest possible chance, of a Biden administration. Do you believe he can serve as a moderate when he is thinking of having people like Beto O'Rourke be the one who leads his gun control effort? Respectfully, Joel.
Well, first of all, thank you for buying The MAGA Doctrine, The Only Ideas That Will Win the Future. It is now a New York Times bestseller 2 weeks in a row. Super thrilled about that. I did not think we would make it in that second week, but you guys continually buying the book, you guys continually supporting us, so thankful. God bless you guys. Thank you. No, he's an Alinskyite, which means that he pretends to be not a radical. He's actually a much better Alinskyite than Bernie Sanders. He talks about restoring the soul of the nation. Look, I've talked about this before, but Joe Biden's political strategy is awfully perplexing and puzzling. Forget what state you're campaigning in. Confuse your wife with your sister. Forget what president you served under. Forget what day the primary is. Confuse Tuesday with Thursday. Forget the preamble of the Constitution. Forget God. Just basic things. Joe Biden is confused and corrupt. He's the most corrupt vice president in American history, and even more corrupt than Spiro Agnew, who resigned as vice president for being corrupt. Joe Biden sold out our country for cash to China, Ukraine. His brother got unbelievably rich through government contracts in Iraq and other sweetheart government deals. I can't wait to run up against Joe Biden's corruption, and this economy is going to be roaring back. This economy is going to be roaring back. By the way, President Trump's approval ratings have not gone down since the Chinese virus. People look at this as a time of crisis. In fact, President Trump has a chance to actually benefit politically from this if he exhibits leadership and turns the country around. I know that sounds strange. I know that might be something off the wall, but the Democrats are actually worried that President Trump is handling this too well. There's also all these clips now of Cuomo and all these people saying beautiful things about Donald Trump that I can tell you right now, we are going to use that against them coming in November. All these Democrats saying that he's this wonderful leader in a time of crisis. President Trump's modus operandi is that I am the leader that you need to get tough stuff done that other people won't get done. Now, President Donald Trump was not elected to be a consoler in chief. That's why during the first couple days of the Chinese virus, some people thought he was not handling it correctly. I did. Other people didn't. But now that we're in all-out war, he's exactly the right person you want. Going to the press for an hour a day and dealing with their nonsense and taking every single question. Having creative answers to the FDA. Creative solutions to all the systemic issues of government regulation and red tape. President Donald Trump is the right person for the right time, and I think that he is going to continue to be on a good course to get reelected, but we can't get too cocky. He's not going to win in a landslide, and I believe he will get reelected if we do our job, and I don't think the Chinese virus is going to put that into jeopardy unless we as conservatives stay home and turn our back on the most conservative, most successful president of our lifetime. Next question.
Charlie, in the Chinese virus crisis, are you yourself practicing social distancing? And what shows, movies, and or board games do you recommend?
Well, I am practicing social distancing at Turning Point USA. We're making it optional for people to come in unless they're directors. And if they're in, they must be socially distanced. What board games do I recommend? Not exactly a board game person. I always thought Monopoly was a highly rigged game. Not a fan. I love chess, though. I do love chess. I'm not as good as I wish I would be, but I do love chess. And what movies? I just saw Ford versus Ferrari. It's a phenomenal movie. awful ending, like really, really bad ending. I guess it's true, so you can't change the ending. But do you know the one thing? I don't know if you guys have seen Ford versus Ferrari, but I think it's a phenomenal film. I wish they would have done an aerial view of Le Mans. So I wish I actually would have saw the course. I see some heads being nodded here in the studio. If you have any idea what I'm talking about, you'll agree with me. If not, then whatever. Great movie. Also, it's kind of a disruptive entrepreneur versus institutional bureaucracy. So I love the film. It's terrific. I highly recommend it. What other movies do I recommend that have come out recently? I really haven't seen that many other movies. But I saw Ford versus Ferrari recently, and Lord of the Rings is terrific. Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, anything from Quentin Tarantino. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is really good. Inglourious Basterds, also terrific. And I do have to say, though, that if you guys are spending more time watching Netflix than reading, you guys are not doing the virus quarantine right. Read good books. Read The Republic by Plato. Read some Aristotle, Descartes, Hume, Burke. Do something that pushes yourself intellectually. Or maybe just watch a lecture that of a topic you might not have thought anything about previously. Watch something about philosophy, objectivism versus skepticism. Read John Stuart Mill. Read Rousseau. I could propose a suggested reading list on charliekirk.com, the first of which would be the MAGA doctrine. Then we can get into the classics, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Then we could do a little bit Marcus Aurelius, Cicero, Descartes. We could do a little Machiavelli, maybe a little Burke. We could do all that sort of stuff. I just encourage you guys in this time that you've been given. I always try to find the optimistic turn. I can't stand pessimism. Oh, the world is ending. America's going to be awful. We're going to civil war. Just stop it. Stop it. I have no. You sound like a European, okay? Go to France, okay? That's all they do is worry about things that they can't control. And just, they love mediocrity. They specialize in mediocrity over there. We as Americans are curious, adventurous, optimistic, entrepreneurial people. So consider this to be a gift you've been given and become a better, more refined person, better in shape, better nutritionally, better philosophically, better grounded, more informed. That is what will give you fulfillment. Try to set a boundary. Say, I'm not going to go on a social media site for the entire day. You're going to find more fulfillment in that than just sitting around vegging, watching Netflix, doing nothing all day. And by the way, I own Netflix stock, so if you're watching Netflix all day long, you're making me wealthier. So thank you. But I don't want you to do that. So I point being is this, is that you guys have been given a great amount of time with this. Please use it to improve yourself. And as far as my favorite games, I wish I could play sports. I can't. Horrible back injury. If anyone has a cure to a back injury that's not surgery, please email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. And I will thank you for the rest of my life because I have gone through everything you could possibly have. I can still walk. I just can't get back to active sports. And I've seen every single type of doctor you could possibly imagine. So if anyone has anything that could re-strengthen my back so I could play basketball again or go back to running, I was a marathon runner. Now I can't even run half a mile. That's a different conversation for a different time. But anyway, I am practicing social distancing. Can't wait for things to get back to normal. All right, the final question.
Charlie, I know you always tell us to put our money where our mouth is with Bet Online, but with Tom Brady now going to the Bucks, do you think we should bet on him to go to the playoffs with that team? Will my Bucks finally return to glory? That's Rick from Tampa.
So I got a lot of thoughts about this whole Tom Brady thing. If China virus was not dominating the news cycle, this would be the number one story in America for a couple days. Tom Brady, what are you doing, man? I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. I love the New England Patriots. I love the pursuit of excellence. I get so much hate for this, by the way, and I love every minute of it. He got robbed out of a couple Super Bowls by the New York Giants. But we have to ask ourselves the question, do you think that him going to the Buccaneers is going to end his career on a high note? I mean, of all the teams, why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And people say, well, he has a lot of offensive weapons there. He had such a sweet deal in New England, where he had one of the best defenses ever assembled, an unbelievable offensive line, and a owner that was willing to basically allow his quarterback coach to become a de facto offensive coordinator. If you study Tom Brady and you study kind of how he runs the operation, he does not take orders from Belichick or anyone. It's Tom Brady Enterprises currently rented by the New England Patriots. So if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are basically ready to relegate complete responsibility of the offensive strategy, I mean, for them, it's a huge win for Tampa Bay, make no mistake. This is the biggest acquisition for Tampa Bay sports and the history of all sports and the history of Tampa Bay. But Tom Brady, man, I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to say you've lost this step, but it's fair to say that in recent years, the agility and the footwork is not what it used to be. And I don't like seeing people leave the franchise that they grew up so successfully in, and not a fan of this move at all. And you've seen, I mean, remember when Brett Favre went and just started to play for random teams? When Brett Favre went and go and played for the Minnesota Vikings, and he played for the New Jersey, New York Jets. They call themselves, they're really the New Jersey Jets, though, because they play in New Jersey, the players live in New Jersey, the stadium is in New Jersey, but they call them the New York Jets. But you remember when Brett Favre went and played for the Jets, and I was like, this is not right. And I'm a huge Brett Favre fan. In fact, I think we all could learn a lesson from Brett Favre. Brett Favre has, I think he at one point, I don't know if he still has the record for most touchdowns ever thrown. I think Drew Brees might have surpassed him, actually. But at one point, he had most touchdowns ever thrown and most interceptions ever thrown. So just such a Brett Favre thing. I think he won the Super Bowl in like 96 or something, right? 96? Something like that. And one of the most amazing runs ever. Good Midwest roots. Originally from Mississippi, by the way. Brett Favre, and he's a true conservative. Just so you know, Brett Favre is a true conservative. But just when he left the Packers, it just did not work out too well. It was also like when Michael Jordan went and played for, was it Washington? It was the Washington Wizards. And he had an earring. No, I'm not kidding. He came back with an earring. Just didn't work out too well. Peyton Manning might be the only player ever to successfully change franchises and go out on a note. He won a Super Bowl, and he was like, I'm done. I'm going to go just narrate car commercials and talk about Levi jeans or whatever, you know, sponsorships he has. Very rare for a player to leave as a Hall of Famer. By the way, Tom Brady's the best player ever to play the sport of football. Best quarterback, maybe not best player. I think best player might be reserved for Jim Brown. Might be the best player ever, but it's hard because the positions are just so different. But Tom Brady's by far the best quarterback ever to play the game. If I were to make a list of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game, it would be Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, Dan Marino, and then, of course, the two San Francisco guys, Steve Young, and, of course, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the name of the other, Joe Montana, my gosh, and Tom Brady, man, I love you. I'm not going to be buying that Tom Brady Buccaneers jersey anytime soon. I am a Florida resident, but I just wish you would have stuck with the New England Patriots, and those fans stood by you through a lot of controversies. Let's just say it was not exactly a seamless tenure at the New England Patriots. Looking at other people's coordinates and looking at what other people are doing and deflating footballs and all those sorts of things. But anyway, Tom Brady, best of luck in Tampa Bay. It is a flummoxing decision, to say the least. Well, that was a great show, everyone. Thank you guys so much for emailing us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, we are still growing, we are still humming, we are still moving. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a chapter. Attend one of our summer events, because all of our events up to there are not happening. Chip in some money if you guys can, tpusa.com. And if you guys do end up getting $750 or $1,000 from the government, maybe you guys want to chip in $5 a month to Turning Point USA. You never know. Keep the economy going. Keep good ideas going. Keep the conservative grassroots revolution going. And again, take out your phone right now. Pull out your podcast app. It's purple if you have an iPhone. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Good. And now press that subscribe button. Scroll down, hit those 5 stars, and leave us a review. Helps us more than you could possibly imagine. We want to beat Michael Moore. We want to beat the New York Times. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Stay safe. Wash your hands. You know who to blame. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, and God bless. From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories come the next great true crime podcast, I Survived. Every week, I Survive presents chilling first-person accounts from people who overcame deadly situations, allowing the survivors to describe the events as they unfolded and how they made it out alive. If you love true crime, you are going to love I Survived. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.